All right, and in the last 10 minutes we have... No, just kidding. That's awesome, though. I love hearing all that God is doing in our community and partner organizations and in outreach efforts. And God is good. Amen?
Amen.
God is good. Well, let me ask you this question. Are you ready to go to battle? Are you ready to go to battle? Uh-oh, somebody said no. Hopefully you're ready after we hear from the Word today. We'll be in 2 Timothy chapter 2, and I love how Teresa gave us pretty much a great introduction to that, being in the Lord's army. We're going through the series here at Hastings Berean Bible Church, talking about what we really believe, the core values of this church. We hit on worship a couple weeks ago out of Psalm 95, how important it is to honor God and connect with Him. We hit on prayer last week, and we even had a moment of prayer in there, connecting, communicating with God. Always pray. Don't give up. That's out of Luke 18. Today we'll be in 2 Timothy chapter 2. And again, it's on this concept of discipleship. Discipleship. And that's one of those words that if you don't hear it in church, you'll probably never hear it. Have you thought about that? It's kind of just this Christian-y word. Really what it means, though, is to learn, to follow, and this type of thing. So I kind of like to break it down a little bit. Well, I love what Paul is going to give us today in 2 Timothy chapter 2. We'll be covering the first, the first 13 verses. Pray for me, church. We're going to get there. All right, starting in verse 1, though. You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Now, I'm going to stop there because we've actually got our first step in our discipleship battle plan. You like that? Discipleship battle plan. Paul gives us step number one right there. Be empowered in Christ Jesus. Be empowered in Christ Jesus. This word strengthen that I have in the ESV, again, it's that concept of the power of God residing in you. Not just saying, hey, there's this power out here and maybe you should go chase it or follow it and this type of thing. Well, discipleship, investing in other people, starts with a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Claiming Him alone as your Savior, Him alone as your Lord. Jesus, I want to follow you. You need to, if you want to make disciples, you have to be a disciple yourself. You have to start there. Step number one of the discipleship battle plan is to be empowered in Christ Jesus. But He doesn't stop there. He's got two more steps for us. Let's look at verse 2. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, and trust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Okay, that's probably a verse you might be familiar with already, or just when you heard me say the word discipleship, it might be one of the first ones that comes to mind. 2 Timothy 2:2, right? It's even easy to remember, hopefully. It's about entrusting, okay? So we had be empowered, and now we're at entrust. What does that even mean, entrust? It's about responsibility. It's about taking the message. And what does Paul say here? And he's writing to Timothy, which this is so cool because he's giving us an example of discipleship at work. He's calling his disciple, Timothy, to disciple others. That's what it looks like, right? It's not addition. Hey, I discipled this one person once. Check off my discipleship box. And now I'm good for the rest of my life because I discipled somebody. No, if that was the case, you disciple somebody and then God takes you home. There's a reason you're still on this planet. You have something to give to someone else. And if you are in Christ this morning, the greatest gift you have to give someone is the good news of the gospel. That Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sin. Not just us, church people, Christian people. No. He died for the world, it says in John 3:16. God so loved the world, He sent His Son. Why? He didn't have to do that. It was all about His love, His initiation, His care for us. Jesus came and died. And we know, of course, He didn't stay dead. 3 days later, He rose from the dead. That was the stamp, the seal, God saying, This is my son in whom I am well pleased. It's like echoing his call at the baptism of Jesus. Really powerful thing. That's the witness. This is what we are entrusting to faithful followers, okay? So we were empowered in Christ Jesus, step one of the discipleship plan. Step two is entrusting what we've learned, this teaching we've learned, to faithful followers is what I'll say. Because here it says men, but this is anybody. That one characteristic of faithfulness is what we should be looking for. Who is going to be somebody that I entrust this message to? Well, are they faithful? How's their integrity? What's their relationship with the Lord look like? I need to invest in this person. This is at the core of discipleship. Again, it's what Paul was modeling for us here. Because it's what he was doing with Timothy, the name of this book that we get, and this is his second book. If you know your history a little bit, though, your biblical history, 2 Timothy was most likely the last letter Paul ever wrote. And he's in chains. He's in prison. He's at the end of his life. So this is kind of like the last will and testament of this great pillar of the faith, the Apostle Paul, who didn't start that way. He started persecuting the church. And then he found the way on the road to Tarsus, the bright light. You know, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Was the voice. And then he says, Lord, who are you? He says, I am the Lord you're persecuting. And that changed everything. This man that was taking the coats of people who were killing Stephen, the martyr in the early church for his faith, is now on a mission. And he goes out on these missionary journeys, and Timothy is one of these guys that he meets. Young Timothy. Timothy, who's a little bit scared. He's a little bit like, send somebody else. He's a little bit like, my dad wasn't really in my life, so I don't really know that I had a good role model. And Paul is like, you have the gospel. Remember, this is the same Paul that said in Romans 1:16, I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for salvation of everyone who believes. And I love that. Because he doesn't just say that, he lives that. He gives this to other people. He's entrusting this message to Timothy, and he's saying, go and do likewise. That's the message of Jesus, right? Whenever somebody was healed, whenever somebody, you know, Jesus encountered faith, it was your faith has healed you. And then some people, like the guy in the Gerasenes who had all of these demons in him cast out, he wanted to come with Jesus and follow him around. And Jesus said, you need to stay right here because the fields are ripe for harvest. And he knew that the testimony of this guy whose life was just kind of being torn to shreds by these demons inside of him after Jesus had powerfully in the name of God cast them out. He was changed, just like Paul later. He was changed. This gospel message is something that changes. Step number two of that battle plan is entrusting that message to faithful followers. What's step number three? This is one that gets a lot more airtime here. Let's look at verse 3. Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. This is kind of a hard word, but this third one is endure. Endure. Keep on keeping on. It's not a sprint, it's a marathon, and you are not trained to run a marathon without the power of Jesus Christ inside you. And you cannot run this marathon if you're not consistently getting around other people. You know, I like this example because it reminds me, I need to have a Paul in my life. At least one. Somebody who's pouring into me and discipling me and keeping me on track and saying, where's your heart? How are you following Jesus? How are you investing your money and your time? What are you focusing on in your relationships? Not just checking a box, but like doing it for real. And then think about it. I don't just need a Paul. I need a Timothy. I need somebody in my life that then I can be looking at and saying, I am passing this thing on. I can't keep this good news to myself. I need to pass it on, equip others. If you're more mature in your faith, notice I didn't say old. If you're more mature in your faith, You are primed to do this. God has you on this planet for a particular reason. He could take you at any moment, and yet you're here now. There's probably someone you can invest in. That might be something to pray about this week. And if you're younger and you're kind of like, I don't know that I really have too much to give, maybe it's a youth. Maybe it's a child. Maybe it's your kids that you can disciple. And maybe you need to ask somebody else to say, would you be my Paul? And that can be a little scary. We don't want to be rejected and this type of thing, but there's a lot of people in this church. There's a lot of maturity in this church. And a lot of people would probably answer that question and say yes. Yes, I'd love to invest in you and do life with you. And this concept of enduring that he spends quite a bit of time on here is really about sharing life's challenges in the trenches together. You know, if this is the third step of the battle plan, enduring, we're in the trenches together, shoulder to shoulder. I love that picture of the children up here with their arms linked. This is the Christian life done best. Because when we're linked up arm in arm and we're doing what Paul's saying here, share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus, I can tell you the devil is shaking in fear at that. You know what he's not scared of? Solitary Christians. Hey, I lost one, but I'm not going to lose anybody else because they're stuck in the mud. They're just standing there. They're stagnant. They might be sinking. That's fine. They're not talking to anybody. They're not saying anything else. They're not praying. That's okay. I don't really mind them. I lost that battle, but I'm going to win the war if everybody does that. And yet, what if a few of us started slogging through the mud and grabbing the person next to us? And then let's go over there. There's somebody over there who's sinking. Let's go grab them. This is what discipleship is all about. People coming together. It starts with worship. We have to have that personal relationship with God. But then it's almost like a magnetic thing when you get around fellow believers and you get encouraged. I mean, that's what things like this are all about. Like if I as a pastor had to make an argument for why you really should be in church with some regularity, it's to be encouraged because life is hard and I don't want to go fight the good fight alone. Because if you're not with other believers, yes, you have God inside of you, the power of God inside of you, but it's a scary, dark world out there. And there's a lot of voices and a lot of distractions. And it's hard to do it by yourself. But when you start surrounding yourself with people like this here at church, and I hope some of you can stick around after for the meal too, stuff like that, you know, hanging out, eating food, God blesses that kind of stuff. Okay, well, let's keep going because he gives three different metaphors here when it comes to enduring. Starting in verse 4, no soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. That's Jesus for us. The second one here, verse 5, an athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. And then the third metaphor that Paul gives Timothy, it is the hardworking farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. And look at, he really wants him to pause and soak this in. Verse 7, think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Now, we don't have a ton of time to go over all of the. Here's what I love about Paul. He's such a teacher. He's constantly giving pictures. And this soldier one is one he regularly uses, right? Ephesians 6 with the armor of God. He wrote that earlier in his life, in his ministry. And here he's talking about share in suffering. How are we to endure? As a good soldier of Christ Jesus. And then specifically verse 4, it's all about focus for the soldier. The soldier is not there to question the battle plan. Oh, I got this command from my commanding officer. You know what? Actually, I am not feeling it today. I think I'm probably going to stay in the barracks there, Sarn. I don't know about that. I'm not really. No, absolutely not. A soldier is a great example of someone who is so laser focused, not on a selfish goal, but on, what does it say here? Pleasing the one who enlisted him. Someone believed in that soldier. Someone said, you got to go to battle. You got to go see the recruiting officer. Maybe it was themselves, but oftentimes it's a parent, it's a spouse, it's somebody, a friend in their life, and they say, man, you're soldier material. Well, I can say, every one of you in here, you are loved by God, and you're soldier material. And there's an enlisting officer that either has already enlisted you and deserves your glory and your honor, and that's Jesus Christ, or he's still working on you. The Spirit's still working on your heart. But that's what the soldier's about, is focusing on the enlisting officer. Look at verse 5, the second metaphor there. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. There's something about Paul that either he was an athlete, or maybe he just liked going to the games, or this kind of, he always has these kinds of athletic metaphors, you know, boxing and running and all this stuff. I love it because it helps you grab a hold of his point that it's not just the person who finishes first at the race that then gets this victor's crown. They have to compete according to the rules, because if they're cheating, they're disqualified. Oh, that person went first, you know, across the finish line, but oh, look at, let's run the tapes back. They stepped out of bounds, or they skipped this section of the track, or something like that. Okay, let's take that crown from that person. Let's give it to the person who finished second then. Don't disqualify yourself in this discipleship process, because it's so easy to just think, what's another way I can get a little bit ahead? Does God really need all of that money that he asked me to give him? Does God really need my time on a Sunday morning, on a Wednesday night, on a random Tuesday at 10 to talk with my coworker, or my friend, or my neighbor, or my spouse, my family member, my child? Does God really need me present in this moment? Can't he use somebody else? Don't disqualify yourself. There's something powerful about competing according to the rules of our commanding officer. That's Jesus. Look at the third metaphor about this hardworking farmer. I think that's an interesting thing. A lot of us in this church are farmers. Hardworking farmer, like, that's redundant. You have to work hard if you're going to stay a farmer. But look at this. You work hard as a farmer and you deserve the first share of the crops. There's this reward that comes for the effort you put in when it comes to enduring as a disciple of Jesus Christ. And sometimes that reward is a little ways off. And sometimes we don't see it right away. Sometimes we might not see it in this lifetime. But there's something powerful to know. I might be bound by time, but my enlisting officer is not. The commander that I follow, Jesus Christ, God himself, they're not bound by time. So if he wants to reward me a million years from now, cool. I'll be looking forward to my reward for that long. Verse 8, because he brings it back. He hones it back in. Remember the battle plan. Remember your commanding officer, Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel. He says, for which I am suffering, bound with chains as a criminal. Again, this is Paul just in prison, writing these words of hope and truth. But look at what he says. But the word of God is not bound. He's like, I'm in chains. I'm enduring this persecution. And frankly, some people were scared about that. Some people thought that was God's judgment on him. If you look back at the preceding context, the end of chapter 1 in 2 Timothy, verse 15, he talked about everybody in Asia. That's an entire continent, by the way. Everyone in Asia turned away from me. That's Paul. And then he names a couple of them. And then he gives one guy, Onesiphorus, who stood by him, found him out, visited him while he was in prison. Isn't that incredible, though? Paul, at his deepest, darkest moment of needing everybody turns away. All these people that he had poured his life and ministry and time and money and effort and leadership and ability into turned away in his moment of need, except this one guy. So he's telling Timothy here, it's not about the people sometimes, because people can do what they'll do. I mean, think of Jesus on the cross. His closest followers fell away. Peter denied him 3 times. That was a short time after saying, "I'll die for you," and now he won't even tell the truth for him. Remember Jesus Christ. I love that last line of verse 9. The word of God is not bound. We may experience trials and persecution, but like James said in chapter 1, right? Verse 2, I believe it is. You know, count it joy when you face trials of various kinds, because you know that this is true. The word of God is not bound. Look at what this means, though, and he brings it back again to that third step. Verse 10, therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect. Those are the people that God has chosen for his family, that they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. He's like, I'm willing to go through prison. They can beat me. They can stone me. I've been through shipwrecks. I've been through disaster and famine and drought and everything you can imagine. And eventually he dies for his faith. He says, I'm willing to do all of that so that people can grab a hold of this good news of who Jesus is. Because this life, it's just a moment. Eternity is forever. And sometimes by sacrificing a little thing in the moment, maybe a big thing, but often it's just a little thing in the moment, you can be impacting someone else's eternity. How cool is that? Finite beings, us who are bound by time, can impact each other for forever. And sometimes it's something like this. Finding your Paul, finding your Timothy, getting into these discipleship relationships, linking arms in the battle, and saying, let's follow our commanding officer together. Okay, let's finish this thing out. Verse 11 is really interesting, 11, 12, and 13. The saying is trustworthy, Paul writes, for if we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. I don't know if your version has it like this, but in the ESV, these words are kind of like broken off into their own separate. So scholars think this actually, he might be quoting something here. He might be kind of like going into at least a logical argument. And there are 4 parallel conditional statements here that are really interesting. Because again, they focus us back on Jesus. This first one, if we've died with him, that's Jesus, we'll also live with him. Think Galatians 2:20. I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. That's an incredible thing if you think about that. This second one, it comes back to endurance, the third step of the battle plan. If we endure, we will also reign with him. There's reward. That's an incredible thing. Jesus will have a physical kingdom on this earth one day in the millennium. I mean, read Revelation. Christians get to reign with them. We judge the angels. I mean, there's so many cool things that come with following Jesus. I tell you what. But look at it. It almost goes dark for a second. So those are the first two. Look at the third one. If we deny him, he also will deny us. That's a little terrifying. And it's not necessarily moment by moment, right? Because Peter denied Christ. I don't think Jesus denied Peter. But I think it's over the course of your life, if you deny who Jesus is, he's not the Son of God. You deny the power of the Spirit and say, no, he's not powerful. He's not, maybe you deny the very existence of God. There's not a God, or nobody can know if there's a God, these kinds of things. You still will stand before God on the judgment day. But you'll be in court, and you'll be seated on your bench, the defense, and you'll look around, and there won't be anybody with you. You won't have an advocate. There's no lawyer seated right next to you. When God says, are you guilty of sin and disobeying me and my perfect way and holiness, you'd have to say yes, and there's no one to defend you. That's a terrifying thought. If we deny him, he will deny us. But obviously the good news of the gospel is that if you're seated on that defense bench and you are in Christ, you trust in Jesus alone as your Savior, you follow Him through your life as your Lord, then He says, actually, Your Honor, this one's mine. I've paid the price for this one. And the gavel that God had in His hand to lay down the law and the judgment, as He is a just God, He lays to the side. And He says, welcome home. Welcome home. You're part of our family. The last one, if we are faithless, He remains faithful. I love that so much. The power of God, the glory of God is not dimmed by our disobedience and our faithlessness and our weakness and our wandering. And I'm so grateful for that, because there are days I wander. There are days I doubt. There are things that I do that I'm like, God, I'm literally closing the doors You're opening. And then I'm saying, God, why aren't You opening the doors? And He's like, it was open a minute ago. You went over there and you closed it and you're trying to lock the thing. And you're like, yeah, but that was too uncomfortable. I don't want to talk to them. I don't know them well yet. I don't want to go there and that place. Those people are scary. I don't know the language. I don't know the culture. They don't know me. Part of obedience and following your commanding officer is not questioning the battle plan. It's saying yes when He says, go. It's saying yes when He says, do. And sometimes that doing is like praying over this. It's like giving your money to this. God, I am so invested in this. I need to get some skin in the game. I'd encourage you to do that if you're not already, because I'm telling you, that will change things. Your heart follows where your treasure is. Right? It's like I heard that from somebody kind of important. But it says at the end, He cannot deny Himself. The ultimate comfort for the disciple is to know the one I am following will never lead me astray. If I am really following my commanding officer of Jesus Christ, and I'm following through on this discipleship battle plan, I am empowered in Christ Jesus, which is a passive word, by the way. Be empowered. You don't have to come up with this power. It's actually resurrection power that's inside of you. Jesus rose from the dead. Now you have that power in you because the Holy Spirit seals you if you are in Christ today. We should look like that, right? We should do some things that only God can do because we have His power in us. Now don't get cocky about that. Don't make it an us thing, because it's not about us. We are the vessels, right? But the one who works in and through us is powerful. Be empowered in Christ Jesus. And then secondly, make sure not to keep all of this to yourself and trust it to faithful followers. You've got to share it. It's got to get out in these discipleship relationships. And again, I encourage you, find your Paul. Find your Timothy. These people in your life that you can get around. There's a lot of people in this church. There's a lot of awesome people outside these four walls. I do believe that, by the way. So not all the cool people are here, but most of them, you know. So just so you know. And then thirdly, enduring. Enduring. Walking through life's challenges in the trenches together. Don't push people away when you're going through something hard. And I will say that is so normal. Even church people, I go to church every Sunday, but now I'm dealing with a struggle in my marriage and you don't see me. And you don't hear from me. And if you call me, I don't answer. Why do we do that? We're like ostriches. We bury our heads in the sand. The moment that we most need people, reach out. Man, if nothing else, call the church office, you know. I'd love to talk with you. I'd love to pray with you. And I hope that, I think there's many people here who would do the same. That's such a powerful thing. Such a powerful thing. Don't fight alone. Accept this discipleship battle plan and let's fight together. Would you pray with me, please? Heavenly Father, God, I am so grateful for a vision, a direction, a commanding officer who is never in doubt about the plan and the purpose. And Jesus, I will follow you every day for the rest of my life. And I know there's many people here today that are committed to doing the same. God, I pray you would continue to just impress upon us in our hearts and in our lives what it means to follow you and to call people to join us, this process of discipleship. We say we believe it here, God. It's a core value of Hastings Berean Bible Church. I pray, Lord, that somebody who just walks in and sees how we do things can tell it matters. We know it matters to you, God. We have to be about this stuff. Thank you for the example of Paul, the example of Timothy. I pray that we get around other people and be discipled and also disciple others. It's so important. We can't walk through this life alone, God. You didn't make us that way. Thank you for listening. Thank you for the love you showed us through sending your son Jesus to die for our sin. And thank you, he's alive today, that we can live in that life as well. It's in his name I pray. Amen.